What about in the postmenopausal woman? Can you talk about sort of how you go about selecting amongst the three? And first, from your point of view, even in the premenopausal patient at this point, is any way to, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the checkpoint inhibitors, is there any way to differentiate efficacy at this point amongst the three other than Abema, maybe in terms of the monotherapy angle, which maybe is not exclusive, or CNS? Any way to differentiate efficacy amongst the three?
We never like doing cross-trial comparisons, so we always do them. So that's my first kind of statement in the beginning before I start looking at these different trials. And when you look at all of the CDK4/6 inhibitor trials, the hazard ratio is very similar. It's close to 0.5. It can be 0.48, 0.52, 0.53 or something, but it's always close to this 0.5. And so it looks like all three efficacy-wise are very similar. Now, the premenopausal data, we have more robust data with MONALEESA-7 and ribo. So there you can make a case and say, I really should be using it in that patient population. And other people will say, well, the other drugs have some data as well, and that is a very valid point too. The toxicity profile is something that sometimes helps me decide. I had a patient who had just had acute cholecystitis, and they wanted to take it to surgery, but they didn't. And so this patient came to see me. She needed to be on a CDK4/6 inhibitor. And in that case, what I was thinking was, if something happens and she gets some other attack and they need to take her to surgery, I'd really not be crazy about her going to surgery with an ANC of 0.8. So in that case, using abemaciclib might be a better option because of the less toxicity in the white count. But again, you're compromising with the diarrhea because it'll have more incidence, a higher incidence of diarrhea. Now, the other two, the ribociclib and the palbociclib, are very similar as far as toxicity profile. With ribo, you need to do an EKG and you need to look at the LFTs. But to me, it's really more a precautionary measure more than anything else because there is a little bit of QT prolongation with the other drugs. And you also want to not expose patients to other drugs that increase the QT as well. So those are small differences. And it reminds me of the early 2000s when we had three aromatase inhibitors. And all three had very similar toxicity and very similar efficacy profiles. And we were arguing as to which one to use.
I know it was flashed on the ATAC trial. I think it was like 2001 or something, anastrozole versus tamoxifen, and the biggest trial in the history of oncology, 7,000 people. Everybody was all wild and excited because there was a 20% relative improvement. You look back now, it kind of doesn't seem as exciting as the stuff that's going on right now.
Exactly. And none of these AI trials are showing much survival benefit either in the metastatic setting. They never did.
But it was just huge, huge news.